This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll talk with former lead guitarist of the Eagles, Don Felder, who's out on tour with his new band. But first, Friday the 13th. We just had one in February. We're going to have another one in March and another one in November. The fear of the day is likely rooted in Christianity. Jesus was crucified on a Friday, and ever since, the day has been associated with a bad omen. Weddings in the Middle Ages, for instance, were not held on Fridays, and it was not a day someone would start a journey. 13 guests are believed to have attended the Last Supper the night before Jesus was killed, and Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, is considered to have been the 13th guest. The superstition origins are mysterious. It's unclear when Friday and the number 13 became linked in a way that we think of them today. There's no mention of Friday the 13th before the 19th century. The fear of the number 13 is called triskaidekaphobia. You're not more likely to make a trip to the hospital, though. A 2011 German study explored whether there's a link between Friday the 13th and an increase in blood loss and the frequency of emergency room visits on that day. Researchers reviewed over 3,000 days at a hospital facility that included 15 Friday the 13ths. They found no correlation. The data indicates that such beliefs are myths far beyond reality. This weekend's Oscar swag bags will be worth about $167,000 and include everything from sex toys to a Tuscany holiday. The annual Oscar nominee gift bags, stuffed with more than 80 items, are worth a record $167,000 plus each. That's $17,000 more than the previous record of $150,000 set back in 2005. The Oscar nominee gift bags are hand-delivered the day after the Oscar broadcast as a sort of consolation prize to the 21 losing nominees for Best Actor, Actress, Supporting Actress, and Director. Oh, and the host, too. Other gifts in the bag, Holiday in Tuscany. With the Italian luxury hotel package, nominees will receive 3 complimentary nights in a suite at the 5-star Grand Hotel Tremezza, value $11,500. A Shishi car rental, a year's worth of silver car rentals, an all-Audi airport car rental service that promises no lines, free GPS, and free Wi-Fi every time, value $20,000. And a whiz-bang bicycle, Martone Cycling, known for its fashion and design-driven bikes, will hand out certificates for free designer bikes with automatic transmission and its signature red bike chains, valued at $1,200. How to impress a woman, let her talk about herself. And whatever you do, don't talk about work. If men want to impress women, they should avoid shop talk and let women talk about themselves. Researchers listened to recordings of 1,000 speed dates to see what women and men liked. They found women switched off when the men started talking about their work. And when women talked about themselves, they felt the date was successful and were more likely to want to see the same guy again. Lady Gaga's to be Mrs. Taylor Kinney. They got engaged on Valentine's Day. Lady Gaga and actor Taylor Kinney, the Chicago Fire actor, proposed to the pop singer with a heart-shaped diamond engagement ring on Valentine's Day. Gaga posted an image of the ring on Instagram with the words, "He gave me his heart on Valentine's Day and I said yes." The couple's been dating since 2011 when they met on a shoot for one of her music videos. Amber Rose and Khloe Kardashian are involved in a big Twitter fight, with the model saying that O.J. Simpson is the reality star's dad. The fight all began when Amber called Kylie Jenner a baby and said she needs to go to bed at 7 o'clock, adding that rumored boyfriend Tyga ought to be ashamed of dating the 17-year-old. This led to Khloe criticizing Rose for her stripper past. Rose tweeted back, "I'm happy you brought up the fact that I was a stripper at 15. I did that to support my family like your older sister is trying to support hers. We're even." The model then tweeted, "You think because your dad was a professional football player that got away with murder, you're better than me, girl?" Later, Khloe tweeted, "Please stop talking about us." Don Felder is the former lead guitarist of the Eagles, and now he's out on tour with his brand new band of musicians.
Well, first of all, I have probably the best musicians I've run across in my history here playing music in Los Angeles. The guys that are in my band all have substantial pedigrees. My drummer plays with David Gilmour and with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. My keyboard player was with us during the Hell Freezes Over tour and plays in a band called Whitesnake, and myself. I have a great guitar player who plays with the Goo Goo Dolls. My bass player is operatically trained tenor, sings all this unbelievable high parts and plays bass at the same time. Plays with Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald. So everybody in my band is just like an A-plus player. We put on a really great show. We play a lot of the Eagles songs that I either co-wrote or recorded with the band when I was there for the 27 years I was in the Eagles. Songs like Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, Heartache Tonight, a couple of softer ones like Peaceful Easy Feeling and Tequila Sunrise. And we do a song from the 80s that I wrote for an animated movie called Heavy Metal. People during the Eagles shows used to yell out, "Heavy Metal!" from the audience, and the Eagles would never play that song. So anyway, I do it in my live show. I do a couple of new songs for my new CD called Road to Forever that wound up being number one and number four on the classic rock radio charts last summer. So it's just a rocking show. By the end of the night, everybody's up on their feet dancing. It's really a fun show. High energy.
Yeah. And I assume, because I know that you were very involved with the Hotel California and those guitar licks, that that's got to be one of the highlights of your show, right?
That is definitely one of the highlights of the show, not only for the audience, but for myself as well. I love to play that song. It's a really complicated guitar performance, and it's just a lot of fun to do, go toe-to-toe with my other guitar player, who's great, and do those harmonies on the ending and trade solos and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
So tell everybody how that song came to be.
Well, I was actually just sitting on a couch in a rented house in a beach in Malibu, and I was playing this guitar, and kind of out came that progression, those chord changes. And so I ran back in my little daughter's bedroom, which served as my recording studio when she was awake, and recorded some of those loops of that progression and went about my day. And then later, when we were assembling the song ideas for Hotel California, I had about, 15 or 16 song ideas, and I went back in and finished that particular song and did all the music for it, wrote the guitar parts, the bass parts, the reggae guitar parts, pretty much close to exactly what's on the end of the record as it was, with the exception of a few Walshisms that he changed on the end of it, and gave a copy of the cassette, if anybody remembers what a cassette is. I gave a copy of a cassette to Don Henley and Glenn Frey and said, "Here's some song ideas for the album." And Don really liked that track that they nicknamed Mexican Reggae. So we went in the studio and recorded it and wrote some lyrics, and it turned into Hotel California.
Yeah, I think you told me one other time that Don Henley is quite the lyricist, right?
I have the ultimate respect for him as a lyricist and a vocalist. He's got an amazing voice and a great lyric talent that is just spectacular. He's able to just throw out these little flashcard photos of images lyrically that paint this picture through the song of what it's about, and just brilliant at it. He's a literary major in college, so, you know, he's developed those skills. Anyway, just great at it.
And, of course, you now, with your own band, you like having your own schedule and your own decisions to make, right?
Yeah, I enjoy it. You know, one of the problems that was always in conflict in the Eagles was I was the only guy married and had kids, so I had no control over how much we worked, where we went, how much we took off, and those guys were bachelors. They just kept going, and so it was hard for me to raise a family and have a marriage when I wasn't there. We were gone 10 and a half, 11 months out of the year, and now I've made it a specific point to really balance my personal and professional life so that I neglect neither. If I'm doing too much music, my relationships with my family and children and loved ones suffer, and if I'm doing too much time doing that, then my music career suffers. So I'm very careful about balancing how much time I allot to taking care of both of the things that I love the most in this world.
Yeah, and how did the family thing go? Everybody turn out okay, despite Dad being on the road a lot?
Yeah, they did. You know, when we took a break in 81, I refused to go back out on the road as a solo artist, and I just wound up staying in L.A. in my own studio, and I was writing songs for movies like Heavy Metal and doing a solo record and songs for other films along the way, so I could stay at home, and I would, you know, drive carpool, make breakfasts. I was Little League commissioner of Malibu Little League, a soccer coach. I just really threw myself into being a parent and a dad and tried to experience and give my kids the feeling that their dad was back. And so until 94, when the Eagles resumed for the Hell Freezes Over tour, I was being Mr. Mom, really, to tell you the truth.
Well, and I'm sure at the end of the day, you're not going to look back and regret being such a great dad?
Not for a minute. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed that probably more than the other part of my life, the success and travel and fame that goes along with being, you know, in a rock and roll band of the magnitude of the Eagles. There are certain things that are impressive, and there are certain things that are impressive on the heart. And I'm very careful about maintaining now that I can decide how much I work, how much I take care of that, which is such an important part of my life.
And it sounds like you've put together a great band to back you up.
It will be rocking. It's a really fun show. I hope you come so I can thank you personally for taking the time to do this interview for me.
Don Felder, all the best to you. Can't wait to see you in Connecticut.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I'll see you then, buddy.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And with Don Felder, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Most people greatly overestimate what they can do in a year, and they greatly underestimate what they can do in five.
Do you relate to that? We sure do. Year after year, we set big goals, and we're often disappointed at what we don't accomplish.
But when we look back 5 years, we can't believe how much we've accomplished.
These are incredible times. Sure, it can be tough. Yes, there's a lot of uncertainty.
But there are so many opportunities now. It's a great time to do something big.
But you have to think in terms of 5 years. Break that down into annual goals. Just don't be too disappointed if you miss one.
Give it your all for 5 years. See what you can do. You just might find big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Did you know America has the world's largest coal reserves? Historically, wood was this nation's primary fuel until the mid-1880s, when logging and endless forms of deforestation for an explosion of daily newspapers forced to look to abundant coal supplies for fuel. Coal then remained America's main energy source until the 1930s, when it was overtaken by oil. Yet today, highly polluting coal represents about 50% of our electricity production. Richard Heinberg, senior fellow of the Post Carbon Institute, reports that the U.S. currently produces over 1 billion tons of mercury and sulfur-emitting coal a year, releasing huge volumes of damaging greenhouse gases, all laden with high sulfur content that result in acid rains, which continue to decimate forests throughout our country. We can continue to support alternative energies.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.